Brother Shell's the only man that I know that's 48 years old and his mustache is 49. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Thank you for coming back. A lot of worldly distractions that you could have tonight. None of them that I believe are worth missing church. I'm proud to know that I've been here for 20 years and we've never canceled a church for a Super Bowl. And that to have the thought process of churches all across America closing down because of a stupid football game. And I love football, but to close down for a stupid football game is amazing to me. God must be very pleased with how we run things, I'll tell you. But in Mark chapter 8, I want to kind of set this up before I have you stand and read these verses. I don't know what it would ever be like to not have eyesight. I am so thankful that I'm able to see. I don't know anybody personally that's blind. I know of people that are blind, but I don't know personally anybody that's blind. But I do know this, it must be a frightful thing to not be able to see. The wonder of God's majesty must be a terrible thing not to be able to see. And I'm so very thankful that I can. And as Jesus walked on this earth for so many years and healed so many people, what a joy it must have been for them to regain their sight. What a joy it must have been to maybe even have sight for the very first time. And the very first face that you saw was the Lord Himself. Can you imagine what that might have been like? The Lord knew that was going to happen. The Lord knew that that person was going to be born blind or become blind. The Lord knew that that person was going to pass by His way. And it's so wonderful that the Lord didn't miss any appointments when it came to healing those folks. And I got to be honest with you, the Lord's not going to miss any appointments when it comes to you either. But as we go over these next verses, I want to draw your attention to the time just prior. And I want you to think with me, and I want you to look with me, and I promise I won't be long tonight. I'm not going to be ornery and run you past the fourth quarter, but although it crossed my mind. But I do want you to get something from the Lord tonight because that's way more important than anything else we could do. So if you look at your Bibles at Mark chapter 8, let's all stand together as we read verse 22. And we're going to read down to verse 25. Thank you again for coming back tonight. The Bible says in verse 22, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly." I want to draw your attention to this statement one more time. Verse 23 says, "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer tonight, and I'll get into this. Brother Colton, could you lead us in prayer, please?
It's a privilege to be in your house tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the message you gave us this morning, Lord. Yes. I thank you for the souls that were saved, Lord. Yes. I pray that you'll come down and meet with us again tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll just meet with us in a special way, Lord. Open up our hearts, Lord, and speak to each one of us individually, Lord. Give us exactly what we need. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What an exciting thing that it is to see folks get saved. What an exciting thing that it is to understand that those two folks back there that got saved this morning were blind. Now, they weren't physically blind, perhaps, but they were spiritually blind. They could not see. And to be, every one of us are that way for that matter. There's not one person in here that came with their eyes wide open being able to see what the Lord wanted for them. You were lost. Now you were blind, and now you were found, and now you see, and praise the Lord. You look back in your life, I could never even imagine at 11 years old that a man would be called to preach by the Lord, and I'm so thankful that he was. I'm so thankful that he answered the call. I'm so very thankful that he started a church where no one said that a church could be started. But apparently God said there could be a church there on Galena Street. And a little old snot-nosed brat, 11 years old, came to that church. And glory to God, a man named Ron Brown got out of bed that morning and came and taught Super Church. And because he taught super church, this little 11-year-old snot-nosed brat came forward and said, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. I was blind that day, and then I saw. You know, throughout our Christian life, I've got to be honest with you, we can make this a spiritual application as well. We don't know the future. I don't know what God has in store for you. I certainly don't know what he has in store for me. I would like to think that I've got some kind of a grasp on what his will might be. But to be real honest with you, I've got to be submissive to what he has. And sometimes I don't see that road. If you'd be honest, you don't either. From day to day to day, you have no idea what could come across your path. You have no idea what you could be confronted with. To say it this way, we do kind of live by faith. We do kind of live blindly. Oh, we can make plans for tomorrow, and I think you ought to. It's my general thought to get up in the morning and get ready for school. It's my general thought in the morning to get up, get ready for school, get depressed by about 8 o'clock because I'm picking kids up. And then from 8:30 all the way until 3 o'clock, I'm yelling. That's the plan for tomorrow. Anybody want to come? But honestly, we can think of a plan and we can think of things that are coming our way, but to be real honest with you, we really don't know. And as this man, as I look at this, he cometh to Bethsaida in verse 22, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. I am so thankful that those two young people showed up today. I'm so thankful that they came to church. Now, maybe they weren't looking for anything in particular, but boy, I sure am glad when they got here that Jesus took the time out to touch them. I'm so thankful that our preacher was manipulated by the Holy Spirit last night and knew that this morning he was supposed to preach what he preached. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit came down in a very real way, and even a message that we've heard before, a thought that we knew, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit gave that to him again so those blind could become seeing people. In our life, we think that we have so much on the ball, and we think that we know so very much, and we have it all together. But aren't we one day, one hour, one moment away from all that changing? They brought this man to Jesus. You know, it's amazing to me how often we don't go there. Talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning. It's amazing how often we don't see Jesus. We don't care about going to see him. We don't bring other people to him that are blind. We don't bring ourselves to him to ask for his guidance. We've got so many better ideas on how to get ourselves out of the funk that we're in, or get ourselves out of the things that we are going through. We've got so many better ideas on how to get right with God again, when really all we got to do is come to him. They brought this man to Jesus. And I read before where Jesus made people see right there. But not with this guy. Didn't you notice? And what a sweet thought this is. Jesus takes him by the hand. Can you imagine? Can you imagine not being able to see? Some friends or family take you to see the person that helped them. Or maybe the person that they've heard will help people. What breaks my heart is that we don't see it anymore. What breaks my heart is that we don't open our own eyes to see the great things that Jesus has done. It's so much easier to dwell on what we don't think that he has done. We are a peculiar people. Jesus takes the man by the hand. You knew I was coming, didn't you? That's why you combed your hair so nice for me today. He takes the blind man by the hand. Blind man can't see. I wonder what that felt like. I wonder what Jesus said to him. I wonder what it was like. Don't you remember ever having a time in your life that Jesus showed you what to do? I mean, there's been times in my life when there was no doubt about it, Jesus showed me what to do. But there's also been times in my life when he had to lead me a little bit. Did you see what that said there? He took him by the hand and led him out of town. Jesus grabbed him. I don't know what Jesus' agenda was. Whatever it was right. And I know that his agenda was for this blind man. There was nothing he did that was a mistake. So he came and showed up for this blind man, met him, because he never misses an appointment, and walked the man out of town. Let me help you a little bit. Go sit down. Let me help you a little bit. I don't know about you, but I don't believe blind people get led around by people that they do not trust. I don't believe that if you can't see, that you're going to allow somebody to lead you around in your life that you don't trust. I mean, if I shut my eyes and I've got to walk through this room down this straight aisle, I'm going to pick on somebody that I know is not going to direct me into these pews. Because if you've never kicked one of them things with your knee, don't do it. Whoever put armrests on the end, boy, I tell you, I've hit them things lots of times. It's not fun. You know, I wonder why we as Christians walking day to day in our faith life allow ourselves to be led by people we can't trust. Boy, that's good preaching. I'm not even excited yet. It's amazing to me that Jesus took the time to take this man and he's going to change this man's life. Would you not agree? Jesus changed my life. Oh, my soul. Everything I have, from my wife all the way, everything I've got was because Jesus changed my life. Everything. Everything wonderful in my life is because Christ came. He takes the man by his hand, and I'm going to tell you right now, that man had instant trust in the one that he knew could help him. The one that he knew would make a difference in his life. The one that he knew would restore or give him sight. This man whom he may have never met. But you know one thing, when I was 11 years old, maybe I never met Jesus, but on that day I trusted him. On that day, I knew that he was the one that was going to save my soul, and although I was blind, I trusted him. I'm amazed to see Jesus walking him out, and I don't know if the throngs followed him, but I've got to believe some folks did. Just to see what he would do. I'm going to tell you what saddens my heart as you read the Bible. Not a whole lot of people get saved that saw Christ do a lot of great miracles. I'm telling you, there was a church and there was a lot of people added to the church, but out of the people that saw him break the loaves and the fish, 5,000 plus women and children, the next time you hear about it is 4,000. And I'm not saying that none of those people got saved, but boy, you sure would think it would make more of a difference. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. All are blind before you come to Jesus. I want to tell you this. If you want Jesus to help you, you're going to have to allow him to get you out of town. Boy, I like this. As preachers, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see more and more preachers going Fruit Loops. And it's because the people don't listen. It's because the people don't hear. It's because they act as though we're against you. If you want Jesus to open your eyes, if you want to see something from Christ, get out of town. I'm not talking about leaving Ravenna. I'm talking about getting out of the world. Pull yourself out of the world. You could do worse than turning your computer off for 24 hours. Most of you just went to me. You know what's amazing to me? I double dog dare you to turn your computer off for 24 hours and not get on it. I'll challenge you. I'll do it tomorrow. I will not turn on the internet if you will not turn on the internet. See, I can make it. The vast majority of you right now are squirming. What am I going to do with my day? I have a hot plan tomorrow to sit in my desk chair and talk to people I ought not. See, what's amazing to me is Jesus took him away from the hustle and bustle of life. Have you ever been in a town? I am not a town guy. I'm really not. I can't stand the fact that I live less than 30 feet away from another building. I grew up where you could see for a mile in every direction, and there was nothing there but crops. I grew up in the farmland. I am a farm kind of guy. I'm not going to do the farming, but that's where I want to live. I'm preaching now. I'm preaching now. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like city life. I know this, even in the little podunk Ravenna, sometimes it gets crazy here. Sometimes your life moves too fast. Sometimes your life gets too filled with things that it ought not. And maybe your life is filled with things that it should be filled with. But I got to be honest with you, sometimes we even fill our lives too much with things that aren't so bad. And here we are, filling our lives with things that are in our lives and on our way. And Jesus says, hey, if you want to see, if you want me to do something for you, we're going to have to take a walk. I've got to get you out of this situation. I want you to think with me. How many have ever gone out to the church property, sat at a picnic table and just listened? How many of you have come into this church after hours and knelt at the altar? And listen, I didn't say pray. Did anybody say pray? I didn't say pray. You'd start to twitch. If you got to the, you'd start to twitch. You'd something go wrong with you. 30 seconds later, that's enough. I never forget, we went to Hawaii. Should have never came back. Preacher and I go to get a pizza. All the way to Hawaii, and we order pizza. I know it's United States, but don't you think we'd have picked something else? We went and ordered a pizza. Preacher, who is very seldom ever in neutral, reverse or drive, reverse or drive, we go into this Pizza Hut in Hawaii. He goes up to the desk. Pizza for Skyver! The guy at the front desk said, hey. You're on the island now. You got to hang loose, buddy. You got to slow down. Take time to breathe, preacher. But it happens to all of us. It happens to all of us because we fill our lives with stuff. And that's not necessarily bad stuff. We fill our lives with stuff. I find it interesting that Jesus took him out of town. Oh, I don't know what the cause was, but I'm just imagining. Maybe I'm taking too much liberty here, but it seems to me that we would be worse off if we didn't let Jesus take us out of town. Jesus knew where he had to be, amen? You can't say for 1 minute that Jesus didn't know where he had to be. He took him there. Jesus knows everything. He's always right, so he took him to the right place, and the right place was out of town. Now, some of you can live that way. I can't. Let me tell you what I do after school. This may not be good for you, but I don't care. After a day of yelling, I go home. I get in my big brown chair, and I sit there, and sometimes even nap. Because I want to unplug for a minute. I want to unplug from it from chasing your children. Why? You know, if we spend all of our time bound up with the things of this world, whether they be good or bad, they're still of this world. It's amazing to me. We get so bound up with that, we forget about Jesus. I like that he took him out of town. I like that he taught us a very important truth. Brother Michael, take my arm again. Don't get used to this, son. For Jesus to take blind Michael out of town, what did Michael have to do? Boy, you're smart people. Let's sit back down. For Jesus to lead you anywhere, you're going to have to follow him. Oh, you say that's easy. Everybody said the word right off the bat. What did Michael have to do? Follow! And follow, of course, he had to follow. Easy question. Quiz passed. A plus. But here we are in our lives. And you hear message after message after message after message on things that we ought to do or we ought not to do. Things that you should be doing with your life. Things you ought not be doing. And you look at us preachers like we're windbags. We tell you to hold on to that Bible. We tell you to get off the Facebook. We tell you to do all those other things. And then at the end of the day, you look at us like we're windbags. If you're going, hey, you can say what you want to say to me. Give me all the scowls you want. I'm telling you, if you want Christ to lead you, you're going to have to follow. That's difficult, isn't it? By the way, I like this. The man was blind, son. Sometimes you've got to follow Jesus even if you can't see where he's taking you. You don't like that. A lot of folks don't like that. I've got to have control. I've got to know what's going on. You don't have control. You don't have control for 1 minute. I saw on the TV today another idiot actor, all jacked up on drugs, died. What a horrible way to put that. You know what? They've got everything. What do you need drugs for? I'm sick of the sympathy. Oh, what a shame. It is a shame. It's a shame because that could have been a life that did something for Christ. Huh? You are going to have to someday. You know what's amazing to me? Christians only follow Christ as long as they like it. Come on, amen me tonight. Oh, I thought this was going to be nice. It's Super Bowl weekend, and I showed up. Let me tell you something. You don't care about the teams anyhow. I don't know a whole lot of Seahawks fans. Don't know a whole lot of Broncos fans. And if you're either one, meet me afterwards. But I got to be honest with you. Cleveland ain't in it, and they never going to be. Pittsburgh ain't in it, so what are we worried about? Good Lord, have mercy. You could do worse than having Jesus lead you here tonight. It's amazing to me that Jesus leads this man. This man allows Jesus to lead him. And by the way, I don't know that the man wanted or did not want to follow Jesus, but I sure am glad that he did. By the way, did the blind man choose where Jesus was leading him? Are you getting a hold of what I'm saying tonight? Are you trying to piece together with the direction I'm headed? I'm going to be honest with you. My joy is not contingent on where Christ leads me. That's tough to say. Because I'm going to tell you, I hate snow. Stick with me for a minute. I hate snow. I hate cold. I hate dreariness. And God in heaven laughs at me because he's got me in Ravenna. Wait a minute. I don't have to be happy with where God put me. I've got to be happy that God put me anywhere. The blind man didn't get to choose. He just followed Jesus. The blind man didn't choose where he was going. Hey, Jesus, where are you headed? We're headed out of town. Oh, no. No, Jesus, I like city life. I like city life, Jesus. You keep me right here. And he didn't say that, did he? He just followed Jesus. Why? Because Jesus could help him. Do you know Jesus can help you? Well, that's easy to say, but do you believe it? I don't know what you're going through, but when's the last time you asked Jesus? I'm going to be honest with you. This morning, for the first time in a very, very long time, I prayed at this altar. Not praying. I pray all the time. But the thing that I prayed for was kind of different. I was kind of selfish this morning, to be real honest with you. Maybe I shouldn't tell you what I'm praying for, but I feel it's necessary. I prayed that the Lord would heal me of the psoriasis that I have. I'm tired of it. Psoriasis is nasty. Hate it. This time of year, you feel like a leper. Whatever, it's what it is. And for the first time, I came to Jesus, would you please heal that? Please. And he didn't come back in an audible voice and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It could be. But you know what? I want Jesus to lead where he wants me to go. And I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to tell him. If he doesn't heal me of it, hey, I've had it anyways. What's the difference? But I'm not going to get mad at Jesus. I just wanted to talk to him. Can you imagine the walk with Jesus? Can you imagine holding hand of the Savior as He walked you blindly to a place that you didn't know where you were going, to a place where you didn't know how He was going to get there, to a place you didn't know what you were going to see when He opened your eyes? Think about that for a minute. That blind man had no idea what he was going to see when he got there. As you walk in your Christian life, do you know that you don't know what you're going to see from day to day? Don't act like you do. This is what's going to happen. You don't know that. Thank God we can see. Thank God that I've got spiritual knowledge and I'm going to heaven someday. Thank God that I know that I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God for that, but I don't know what I'm going to see from day to day to day. Do you think that I knew that my preacher was going to be in the hospital for 14 days in a coma? My eyes, we were blind to that, were we not? Come on, church, don't tell me that we knew that was coming. Blind to that. And then Jesus led us right there. We know what He's going to see when we got there. But I remember seeing Him breathing again. I remember seeing Him come off of the ventilator. I remember seeing Him recover. I remember enjoying the fact that He's still preaching. Now my eyes are open. I can see where Jesus took us, whereas I was blind before. Christian, why is our life so different? We live saying, oh yeah, I saw that coming. I'm not saying to not have wisdom. I'm not saying to not try to foresee what Jesus wants us to do. But I am saying to let Jesus Christ lead you blindly. Follow Him. Follow Him without concern of where you're going. Follow Him without concern of what you're seeing. Follow Him without concern of how you're going to get there. Jesus, let me tell you something. My wife and I being together is me being blind, a blind date, and seeing her come to the door and her watching me play basketball when I was still good. I didn't need apples or salad or anything back then. I was fit, ready to go. I gave her a wave. She gave me a smile. I said, straight teeth, there's date one. Honest to God's truth. Hey, whatever, you can say what you want to say. She smiled at me, it was beautiful. I said, oh yeah, we're going to go out on a date. Hey, at least I admit it. Beautiful, oh my goodness. I said, man, I thought sure my cousin was going to bring me a dog. Hey, my cousin's a moron. I thought sure a dog was going to be there. She's beautiful. Turned around, walked away, and she's going down the hallway. I didn't know this. But she's going down the hallway saying, oh my soul, he's the one. I don't blame her. Both of us, shut up, Josh, both of us, you sit way too close to the front. Both of us stood each other up. Huh? She was going out with somebody good looking. You can ask her. That's how it worked out. She was going out with somebody good looking named Torin. Torin Savage. How can you not think that that's a good looking guy? How do I compete with that? Who are you going out with? Torin Savage. Hi, my name's Dave. I lost. How do you win that game? We go to her grandpa's house. We go to her grandpa's house, and her dad's there. I had no idea whose daughter she was. No idea. Come in the door, he opens the door. I said, man, I know you. He looked at me just like any dad would say, I don't know you. I said, well, I probably react a little quick on that one. Talked to him for a few minutes. I told him, you're the preacher. Yes. Here's what's funny. I was allowing Jesus to lead me as a child. I didn't even know it. It's crazy how good God is. Went to Night of All Nights. They used to have them in Toledo. I went to two of them. Tammy was at both of them. We never met. I went with my cousin. He never introduced me. I never met her until that night. And I leave. He's telling her, man, he's the one. Let's make out wedding invitations. Little did he know how much that wedding was going to cost him. He might have said no to that. Yeah. Here I am going on 20 years in March. Man, I'm glad God led me. I'm glad God didn't lead me to her before I got my life changed around. I used to have hair down to the middle of my back. I used to be an idiot hippie. I'm glad she didn't meet me then. I'm glad she met me after the Lord started to lead me again. And I didn't think about it at that time, but as I'm sitting here reminiscing with you, how much did God have to have his hand on my life to have this man happen and his man over him happen and her happen and my life get directed to here, to you people, him coming here to Ravenna. How must God have worked? I'm so thankful that I followed him. You know, you don't have to be able to see to follow Christ. All you have to do is follow. It's not difficult to follow. He's given us a roadmap to do it in that King James Bible. He's given us the ability to know what to do and know what not to do. It's not difficult. And sometimes there's things along the road and that blind man didn't see him coming. He just had to trust. He just had to trust that Jesus was going to lead him in a path that he could walk. Think about that for a minute. That blind man had to trust the Savior to lead him in a path that he could walk. It has not always been easy. But I still was able to walk. I still was able to make it to this position. I still was able to make it to the things that God has wanted me to do to this point. And I got to be honest with you. If it's up to me, I'll just go ahead and have God keep leading. Amen. There's times when I may tug on his arm and say, Jesus, I don't know if I can make it. That was the good thing about him being blind. He didn't see the road ahead. He just walked it. You know, sometimes I wonder if it's not better. Maybe we don't see what's coming. The blind man blindly followed Christ. And it was all only after, I like this, it was only after he blindly followed that he received his sight. What if you were following me and you pulled away and said, I don't want to go? Think about that for a minute. What if the blind man said, I don't trust you? What if the blind man said, the road you're walking is too hard? What if the blind man said, I don't want to go that way? What if the blind man said, no, Jesus, no, that's not the direction I want to go? He wouldn't have received his sight. Jesus took him out of town for a purpose. He didn't do anything without purpose. So Jesus walked him out of town for a purpose. Jesus might be walking you to a place with a purpose. Just go ahead and follow him. Because what he has over there is worth the walk. What he had out of town for the blind man was worth the walk. It was worth it. I'm not saying that along this road that we've walked, it's been easy. There's been a lot of times it hasn't been easy. Talk to Brother Sales. I promise you, his walk has not been easy. But glory to God, brother, we're still walking. Would to God we had some Christians today that had a spine in themselves. I'm going to follow Christ blindly. I don't have to see. Jesus, I don't have to see where you're taking me. I just want to go. The blind man gets there. And then something happens that I promise you 85% of Christians today would walk away. 85% of the Christians we have today would walk away if this happened to them. Read with me. He took the blind man by the hand, verse 23, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. But he did not have all of his sight. 85, maybe even more than that, percent of the Christians today, if they don't get the healing that they believe they deserve, if they don't get the answer that they believe they deserve, if they don't get the touch from Christ that they believe they deserve, would walk right back into town and forget all about Christ. I don't find it odd here that Jesus didn't heal him completely on the first touch. Don't you? Isn't that odd? Have you ever read that before? He touched him the first time. He didn't quite do it. Let me tell you something. If that's what you're thinking, think again. Jesus never didn't quite do something. Jesus did exactly what he was supposed to do. He is God, after all. I can't explain it. But I can tell you this. Whose call is it, Brother Colton, on the amount, the type, and the speed of deliverance we get from Jesus Christ? Whose call is it? It is, isn't it? It's God's call. It's Jesus' call. I mean, let me tell you something, Michael. He touched his eyes, and when he came back, what do you see now? Most of today's Christians, and today's different. Today we're different. We're lackluster. We're lackluster. If it ain't going right, we're out of town. Come on now. Let's be honest. This man gets a healing, says, whoa! That can't be right. And some of us would just take off and run the other direction. Why? Because Jesus didn't do it how you thought he should. That's so good. That is so, I believe that's why Jesus did that to this man. Just so I could preach today. Just so I could tell you, wait a little longer. He's coming in again to touch you again. Because right after, that man stayed around and said, I see men as trees walking. And then after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. One of those men being Jesus Christ himself. We as Christians must understand. We must come to the grips with this. We must follow Christ blindly. We must do what Christ asks us to do. And we must be willing to accept that Jesus is the one that has control of how and why and when he grants us deliverance. I don't know why it took so long to heal my dad. I don't know why it's taking so long to heal Debbie Black. I've begged God. Have. Why? I don't know. But whose call is it? What do you know? Let's be honest. Preacher touched on that this morning. I love it when the Bible tells us that we can know something. That's why you got to have the King James Bible, because the Bible, that's the one that says you know. I don't want to lackluster God's word. And there it is. You may know that you have eternal life. You may know, knowing this, knowing that. Jesus tells you things that you can know. But boast ye not of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't like plans to change. I really don't. But I got to be honest with you. Sometimes Jesus knows better. Let me rephrase that, can I? Jesus always knows better. as Christians, if you want your life, if you want your life to mean anything, I mean, as a Christian, don't you want your life to mean something? Get yourself out of town. Get out of the hustle and bustle of the world. Get yourself out of the hustle and bustle of life. Get yourself out of that and blindly just take the hand of Christ and let Him lead you somewhere. Let Him lead you. I promise you, He's going to bring you to church on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I promise you, He'll lead you there. He'll probably even let you see driving there. Some of you drive with your eyes shut anyhow. Or at least you drive like you do. I don't know why Jesus let him out of town. But I do know that Jesus needed to lead him out of town. I don't know why Jesus led him away blind. He could have healed him right there. I don't know why. But I know this, that He needed to lead him away. Why? Because He's Jesus Christ. He had to spend that one walk. Michael, think with me. Come on, people, think with me. This blind man had to spend a walk with Christ. He had to spend a walk with Christ before he got his healing. He had to spend a walk with Christ before he got his eyesight restored. He had to spend a walk with Christ. He had to be led by Him. He had to allow himself to be led by the Savior to get his healing. He had to be allowed to do that. And by the way, I don't believe Jesus told him that this was going to happen. I just believe he knew he was supposed to. And as he walked that road, and I don't know what the road was like. I don't know what it was like. I don't know what Jesus told him. I don't know what they talked about. But I do know this. At the very end, they made it. They made it where Jesus wanted him to go. Glory to God. The man followed Jesus. No matter what came, he followed Jesus. Why? He couldn't see to do anything different. This is my last point. I'm all done. He couldn't see to do anything different than follow Christ. Neither can you. Neither can you. The Bible speaks of the blind leading the blind and both end up in the ditch. I'm going to be honest with you. The only one that can see what's coming, Miss Kaylee, is Him. The only one that can see what's in your road in the future is Him. He's the only one. So let me think about this. The only way that we can let the sighted lead the blind is if we follow the only one that has sight. I'm imploring you tonight. Take a blind stroll with your Savior. Take a blind stroll. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead you. And see if you don't take great, great joy at the end of the trip. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this night. Lord, I thank You that You care enough to lead Your people. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have under-shepherds. Lord, I'm so thankful we have preachers. I'm so thankful that we have Your Word. And Lord, at the end of the day, You want us to put great stock in every one of those things. But Jesus, as a Christian, I need Your help. I need You to lead me. You're not going to lead me back into the hustle and bustle of the town. You're not going to lead me into a place I ought not be. You've always only had my best future in mind. Lord, help me to let You give it to me. Help me not to pull away from You as You're leading me. Help me to learn to follow You blindly. Help me to learn to follow You even though I have no control. Lord, help me to give that control to the one that loves me more than anyone else in the whole wide world could. Lord, I thank You for the two that got saved today. They can see now. Spiritually, they can see. They have to come to grips with the fact that they need to now be led, just like every one of us does. Led by Jesus Christ, led by that Spirit of God. led out of the world, led out of the hustle and bustle of this life, led out of the torment and tragedy to a wonderful bliss of you opening our eyes, a wonderful bliss of you showing us why you did what you did. It's easy to talk about hindsight. It's always very, very easy to focus on the past. But Lord, we must be honest. We cannot focus on the future. We do not know what it holds. I know we've got heaven waiting. I'm excited about that. But Lord, as we walk this path of life, I don't know where it's going to take us. But God, I know that if you're leading, it will always end in a good place. Lord, protect us. Help us. Help us to seek you out. Help us to find ourselves falling into a prayer more often, and falling into our prayer closets more often, and talking to you more, reading about you more, God, trying to get closer to you. Lord, I'm so thankful for this wonderful truth. I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. Lord, I cannot say anything, but it was your hand that got me here. It was your hand, nothing that I had done, just your hand. Lord God, we love you. Please continue to lead us. Please be patient with us. Oh God, we fail you so often. Lord, help us to follow you. To follow you blindly. Because boy, at the end, it sure is great joy. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say they know that they know that they know 100% sure they once were lost, but now they're found. They were blind, but now they see. How many can say that they know that they're saved? You can put your hands up real big and tall. You've asked the Lord to save you. You may put them down. I did not see one hand that didn't go up, but I'm still going to ask. How many can say, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I really don't know. I challenge you, don't live life that way. Don't live life not knowing. If you don't know, but you would like to know, could you please put your hand up real big and tall? We've had folks that will work with you and tell you all about it. That I'm in a room full of blind Christians. Blindness isn't too bad. We get the opportunity to follow Christ. We get the opportunity to let Him guide and direct our paths. We get to use His Word as our lamp and our light. We get to use His truth as a guide. I'm begging you, Christian, follow Him today. The terrain might not be to your liking, but I promise you, Christ will take you through it. Dear Jesus, we love you. Thank you so much for doing everything that you've done for us. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to go forward for you. Lead us, oh God, lead us, and let us follow. Lord, let us follow, because unless we allow you to lead us, unless we allow ourselves to follow, Lord, you can't lead us. Be with us tonight. Be with the invitation, oh God. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, Brother John, what you singing? Number 137, the altar's open. Come quickly.